What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, June 8th, 2021, getting into the week here, and a busy news day. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to try and get to the phones a little bit earlier. I got some email complaints saying I wasn't leaving enough time for calls, so we'll try and fix that today. But we do have a lot to get through, so bear with us. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. So let's get right on into it. Obviously, for history students, today is the anniversary of Israel's underhanded sneak attack on the USS Liberty. This was back in 1967. 36 U.S. Navy servicemen were killed and 167 wounded. They were in international waters in the eastern Mediterranean. Israel tried to claim that they mistook the intelligence ship for an Egyptian horse carrier because, as we all know, horse carriers have got dish antennas all over the top of them. And it was a flimsy cover-up, but back then they could get away with it, and they've still tried to maintain it to this very, very day. But the survivors of the Liberty maintained that Israel knew exactly what was going on. There are two possible reasons why Israel carried out this attack. One is that the USS Liberty was an intelligence gathering ship, and Israel did not want them spying on some of the things they were doing during their war with Egypt. The other theory is that had they succeeded in sinking the Liberty without any trace, they would blame that on Egypt to draw the United States into Israel's war against Egypt. And as a matter of fact, the very first part of the attack carried out on the USS Liberty involved unmarked aircraft. Mirage 3s with no markings whatsoever. The reason we know it was Israel is that the air attack failed to sink the vessel, and so Israel had to send out some patrol boats that were marked with Israeli insignia to try and torpedo and machine gun the Liberty. They did not intend to be any survivors. When the Liberty tried to put life rafts into the water, the Israelis machine gunned them. And it was an ugly, ugly situation. And the cover-up went right to the top of the United States government. In fact, when the first Israeli strike hit, they targeted the ship's antennas to basically cut off the communications. They were jamming the U.S. naval frequencies, which tells us that Israel knew exactly who they were attacking. And the heroic crew managed to put up an improvised antenna and got in touch with a nearby U.S. aircraft carrier, which launched a strike to protect the ship that was ordered back to the carrier by Secretary McNamara on the orders of Lyndon Johnson. And what's really interesting is Captain McGonagall of the Liberty survived the attack. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. It is the only time a Congressional Medal of Honor was not awarded by the president personally at the White House. McGonagall got his Congressional Medal at the Navy Yard in a ceremony that was kept from the public. So they were just hiding this right from the very, very beginning. And over the years, a lot of people have come forward, even on the Israeli side, to say, yes, this was a deliberate attack by Israel against a United States Navy ship. And getting on back to the official investigation, again, the Defense Secretary Robert McNamara ordered the inquiry conclude the incident was an accident and a case of mistaken identity, because we all know those Egyptian horse carriers have large dish antennas all over the top. So there was a retired Captain Ward Boston who took part in a Capitol Hill news conference about the Liberty, said that Johnson and McNamara told those heading the Navy's inquiry, of which he was a part, to conclude the attack was a case of mistaken identity despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary. So it's another time the U.S. government lied to you, the American people, to protect their good friends in Tel Aviv. There's even an article I found in Haaretz where the pilots were aware the ship was American, and they were told, never mind, hit her. Now, the Liberty was flying a U.S. flag. The first flag was shot down, so they hoisted up the even larger parade flag, and the Israelis still attacked that. That very flag, which still has the Israeli cannon holes in it, is on display at the U.S. Cryptographic Museum. So we dare not let the world forget this treachery by our so-called friend, the so-called only democracy in the Middle East, that was done either to keep the United States unaware of what Israel was doing, or trick the United States into war on Israel's enemies, or possibly both at the same time. Now, remember the motto of the Mossad, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. So they blow up the USS Liberty, they frame Iran for it, and the United States obediently goes to war on Israel's enemies. Same thing with the attack on the USS Cole, which appears to have been a Israeli operation, to be blamed on other Middle Easterners as well. Okay, now, earlier today, if you were having problems getting to websites, such as U.S. government websites, I was trying to register a copyright and ran into trouble. Spotify, Netflix, Amazon all went down because a major portion of the cloud went down. And this came from the company Fastly. This is a content delivery network which helps users view website content more quickly. Now, the aim of CDNs is to reduce latency, the delay from the moment a user makes a request to the exact instant they receive a response. The higher the latency, the worse the user experience. But the service went down or was taken down. We'll have more on that a little bit later. But they finally they started to get it back online. Some websites are still affected. And so, yeah, it was a major outage, and it affected the entire world. All righty, getting into the international news, Joe Biden is going to be meeting with Putin over at the G7. They're going to have a little talk away from the main conference itself, and everybody was saying this is a train wreck about to happen, that Putin is going to eat Biden alive. And it looks like they're trying to bolster up Joe Biden because Anthony Blinken will participate in the meeting with Putin, and my guess is he'll probably take the focus in the debate with Putin. Now, Putin himself is saying he doesn't have any real expectations that anything will be accomplished at the meeting, but he's going to go through with it basically as a show of goodwill. As a show of bad will, Joe Biden is going to invite the Ukrainian President Zelensky to the White House following his Putin summit. And the Republican Party continues to slam him for showing weakness to the Russians by waiving the sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. It's the same time that he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline here in the United States of America, which didn't really make a whole heck of a lot of sense. Unless somebody got bribed under the table. Another article, this one is coming on out of Sputnik News, talking about how Joe Biden is going to press Putin on their human rights issues in Geneva, but it could very well backfire on him because everybody's just going to start pointing out Washington's record of human rights abuses at home and abroad. This is coming from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. So commenting on the American president's speech and remarks, Russian Foreign Ministry Sergei Lavrov noted that Russia views no topics as taboo and is ready to discuss issues including the prosecution of Americans charged with orchestrating the January 6 riots and the human rights of U.S. opposition activists. And I'm sure that Julian Assange and Edward Snowden will be included on that agenda. Let's get into the issue of vote fraud. A lot is going on. The latest estimate is that the audit in Arizona will end on the 14th. More about that later. It's also Trump's birthday and Flag Day, by the way. Down in Georgia, there has been another scandal, apparently somebody has noticed that a large stack of mail-in ballots look like they were Xeroxed. They're on the wrong stock of paper. They are, you know, alarmingly uniform from one to the next in the markings for Biden. And these ballots were not creased, as you would expect, had they been put into an envelope and actually mailed in. And this was noticed by at least three other poll workers. And so that is yet another indicator of massive fraud in Georgia. Also down in Georgia, it turns out that there are 17,400 ballots that have gone missing. 174 batches of ballots have simply disappeared. It would have been more than enough to put Trump over the edge if those votes were all for Donald Trump. So missing ballots and Xeroxed ballots, Georgia needs a full audit. Okay. Now, Donald Trump himself and Bill O'Reilly are announcing a national speaking tour. They're promising inside info on the Trump White House. They're calling it the History Tour, and they're reporting they're going to provide a never-before-heard inside view of the Trump administration. So they've already got locations in Florida and Texas selected and announced, and they will be finding other locations across the country. I hope there's one near me. I would actually make the trip to go up and see that. Anyway, Trump has also said, and this was a bad move, he's going to run in 2024, but he is considering choosing Ron DeSantis as his running mate rather than Mike Pence. And, you know, I seem to recall that John F. Kennedy got assassinated after it came out that he was dumping Lyndon Johnson as vice president for his second term as well. So, you know, plus, of course, obviously Pence, you know, and all of his backers and supporters will not be supporting Trump in 2024. Trump went on to rage at Mark Zuckerberg for the 2-year ban from Facebook. And he's out there calling Bitcoin a scam. And that could be interesting as well. Yet another chapter in the saga of Hunter Biden. It turns out that Hunter Biden and a former FBI director were hired by a Romanian real estate tycoon to overturn a bribery conviction through a massive propaganda campaign with help from former FBI Director Louis Freeh, as well as then Vice President Joe Biden's governmental connections. So, yeah, that's the government's up for sale. What can I tell you? All righty. Now, getting into the midterm elections, which are coming up next year, and already everybody's campaigning and polling and predicting and whatnot, there's an article over at todaysheadlines.co. Saying that, you know, as Biden's agenda stalls, Democrats are getting very, very anxious. And, you know, their hopes for a big infrastructure investment deal are teetering, mostly because most of the money isn't going to go for the infrastructure. And they're looking at this very difficult election next year because, you know, it's going to be very hard to commit election fraud next year because everybody's going to be looking for it. And so that makes trying to cheat that election that much more of a risk. And probably a lot of people aren't going to want to try that. So their H.R. 1 elections and voting bill is all but dead. Legislation on police brutality, more gun control, and open immigration is stalling out, according to the latest polls. So they're in real trouble. They've been pushing an agenda that voters would reject on the assumption that they were going to be able to steal the 2022 election, rather, as easily as they stole 2020. And that may not be happening with all the revelations coming on out. Yet another story that is coming on out from Breitbart is saying the same thing. The Democratic Party is in a panic over the socialism and the defund police narrative with working class and Latino voters. And there was a city down in Texas that is mostly Hispanic, which is traditionally a Democratic voting bloc. They just elected a Republican mayor. And that may be a little bit of a bellwether for everybody to taking a look at. Another story, this one coming again from Breitbart, is a new survey out from the Center for American Progress. This is founded by John Podesta. And they're finding that voters' top priorities are protecting jobs for Americans and reducing illegal immigration to the U.S. Both of those scored, well, the jobs 47% and illegal immigration 42%, and all the other issues just were distant followers all along that. So, yeah, it's going to be a rough election year next year. They will try and steal it. We must be vigilant. We must basically all of us impart to our state governments who are in charge of those elections and simply say, we've got to know that these elections are honest, you know, or we're simply not going to, we're not going to accept the government, you know, as legitimate. How can we accept a government as legitimate if they can't prove to us beyond all doubt that the elections are fair, honest, accurate, and verifiable? All right. Now, there are more stories coming out today, and it's about the January 6th protest, and they're still trying to pin it on Trump supporters. But what has come on out is that intelligence agencies knew that something big was going to happen on the 6th, and they did not inform the local police or the Capitol Police. They just let it happen, and or they made it happen is more likely the situation there. Another story, this is coming on out, and it was in the National Pulse, basically saying, if there's no justice for Ashley Babbitt, there is no justice in America's future. Now, for those of you who don't remember, Ashley Babbitt was this a veteran, and she was shot by an unidentified law enforcement officer when she was crouched precariously in the framework of a broken window in the Capitol building located outside the Speaker's lobby off the House floor. Now, Babbitt was killed by the only shot fired that day and was the only documented fatality related directly to law enforcement activity. Now, the Democrats are still out there saying that three police lost their lives on that day. But again, it's just more propaganda. The identity of the officer who shot Babbitt has been withheld. And of course, there are no charges. Now, there is video evidence that raises serious questions of excessive force. But despite that, the Justice Department investigation determined there was insufficient evidence to bring charges against that officer. Okay. Now, over in Minneapolis, unfortunately, there has been another shooting. U.S. Marshals fatally shoot a black man. Investigators say there is no video evidence of what led to the shooting, so it's a big mystery what's going on. Now, the marshals normally don't do your regular street police work. In all probability, they were serving a warrant of some kind. Speaking of Minneapolis, this Minneapolis couple, Don and Sandra Samuels, are suing the city and the mayor for failing to protect the streets. They described the situation there over the last year with all the Antifa and Black Lives Matter stuff going on as being under siege, and they say the city and the mayor have failed to maintain the peace, which is, after all, what they are supposedly paying taxes for. So they're filing a lawsuit, and we'll see what's going to happen. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. More news after we come back.
Oh, yeah. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together instead of on a computer alone.
And welcome back to our show here. Getting into some media news, over at CNN, their host, Brian Stelter, has come under severe criticism from both the left and the right because of an exchange he had Sunday with White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, basically throwing a bunch of softball questions. And even Glenn Greenwald has come on out ripping him, saying it was one of the worst sycophantic interviews of a state official you will ever see. And if you contrast the corporate media's treatment of Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, it's very obvious that there was a double standard at work. There wasn't anything Trump could do that wasn't roundly attacked and dissected and, searched for the any possible negativity. And if they couldn't find it, they would just make it up here. Now, there's an interesting analysis about all of this. This has come from the American Conservative, and it's commenting about how 50 years ago, the New York Times began publishing excerpts from a secret report called The History of U.S. Decision-Making Process on Vietnam Policy, otherwise known as the Pentagon Papers. And even today, the corporate media will point to that as an example of how they're doing their job as a watchdog on government misbehavior. But that's an illusion. Because today, corporate media, they have become the lapdogs of the politicians and the corporate leaders. And they are little more than paid propagandists and public relations companies. Okay. Now, there's another analysis coming on out from Russia today talking about Facebook. And they're talking about this two-year ban on Donald Trump. And along with their promise, the platform will no longer treat content from politicians any differently from anybody else. And they're saying Facebook has, in effect, anointed itself the referee in U.S. democracy. And every Democrat in the world should be sitting up and trembling in fear and indignation over the decision taken by Facebook to suspend Trump until at least January 7th, 2023, conveniently after the midterm elections, and the idea that posts by politicians will be subject to more scrutiny by the company's censors. Well, given their past track record to here, Democrats have nothing to fear. It's Republicans who are going to be pounded on because Facebook has shown consistently a strongly liberal bias. All right, let's get into coronavirus. There's a lot happening out there. There is an outbreak in Guangdong, southern China. They have now banned all travel out of the province and its capital indefinitely starting the June 7th yesterday to contain a local Chinese coronavirus outbreak. And so it's definitely getting worse over there. Another story, this one coming on out of Involve. There is an MIT study that just came out. It was written and published by Yuyang Gu. He's an MIT-trained engineer and data scientist. And he found there is absolutely no link between government prohibitions, meaning the lockdowns, and lower COVID mortality in the United States. In fact, all he found was that these government limitations were linked to higher unemployment. Imagine my shock. I never would have imagined that in a million years. So basically, came on out and said that all of these lockdowns had no effect. They were completely unnecessary. They accelerated the decline of the U.S. economy. And I would call that definitely bad management on the part of this possibly not elected government that we're all having to deal with right now. Now, up in Canada, the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, the CPSO, has basically come out explicitly saying that doctors may not make any statements that might be considered anti-vaccine, anti-masking, anti-distancing, or anti-lockdown, or they could lose their medical license. And this is a horrifying statement from both a medical and a legal perspective, because it's basically this College of Physicians and Surgeons is acting as a dictatorship, possibly as an arm of the government of Canada. And right now, with all the word that's coming on out about the ineffectiveness of lockdowns and masks, it's a medically reckless thing for them to do as well. Now, over in India, Dipali Ojha, the head of the Indian Bar Association's team, has basically charging the World Health Organization chief scientist with crimes connected to the suppression of ivermectin. And basically some of these charges can actually carry penalties up to life imprisonment or death. So obviously the chief of the World Health Organization shouldn't plan on visiting India anytime soon. Now, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Oh, I got to take another break for commercials. My goodness, how time is flying. All right, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID-19. And by the way, have you noticed lately, ever since that email dump of Fauci's emails, which he still says are being taken totally out of context? And, you know, I'm like that one about, thank you for, hiding the fact of the Chinese laboratory accident. Yeah, good example. That one could be misinterpreted. Anyway, the corporate media has stopped calling COVID-19 COVID-19. It's now the China virus. It's the CCP virus. And they are definitely trying to sell that link between the virus and China, even as they completely downplay and dismiss the links from the Chinese lab to laboratories here in the United States of America and all that money that Fauci sent to them for the very research that led to the release of the virus in question here. So, Senator Marsha Blackburn, I guess she's tired of living under a Faustist dictatorship, and she is turning up the heat, demanding more answers on just where the COVID-19 virus came from, following reports that unelected bureaucrats obstructed investigators looking into the Wuhan lab leak theory during the Trump administration, and ultimately has joined the call for Dr. Anthony Fauci's firing. And Blackburn explicitly called for Fauci to be fired following the emergence of these revealing emails showing how Fauci mishandled the pandemic behind the scenes and in many cases expressing different views privately than he was expressing to you, the ordinary American, who he assumes is too dumb really to know the difference here. So, and all righty. Meanwhile, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who is also calling for Fauci to leave, is basically saying we need to find a person we can trust to be the new head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Now, I don't know why Biden continues to defend Fauci and his branch Covidians. But it would be easy for Biden to let him go and say, well, he was a holdover from the Trump administration, so it's really all Trump's fault. So I don't know why that's not happening, but it would certainly be an easy out for the current misadministration. Okay, story coming on out of your destination now. There was a secret report issued by a laboratory in California in May of last year, just over a year ago, that COVID-19 might have escaped from a facility in Wuhan. It called for a further investigation, which, of course, did not happen. Dr. Fauci also ignored an email from a physicist claiming that hydroxychloroquine could effectively treat COVID-19. And just 2 days after he received this email, he was asked by the media about the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine in treating people who contracted COVID-19. Fauci said the answer is no, and said that the signs of the drug's promise were purely anecdotal evidence. Got to protect those vaccine company profits there, doctor. Okay. So, all righty. Another story, this one coming on out from Breitbart, talking about how the corporate media and left-wing activists, you know, gutted the reporting, the honest reporting on the Wuhan coronavirus. You know, up until Fauci's emails came on out, and they started to say, well, yeah, I guess it did come from the laboratory after all, which we in the independent media have been saying that pretty much all along, since the very beginning. And, you know, the corporate media, left-wing activists were covering it up. Again, that's what corporate media has become, you know, the ministry of truth, you know, for our government mismanagers, if you will. Ted Cruz is still out there banging the drum, saying that Facebook can be taken to court by those users that had their posts about the Wuhan lab leak censored. Based on the recently disclosed emails from Fauci showing there was correspondence between him and Mark Zuckerberg, after which Facebook started censoring that information. Well, that makes it look like Zuckerberg is acting as an arm of the government, in which case the First Amendment applies and Section 230 does not protect him. So start getting those lawyers, people, and sue the bastards. Over in Israel, officials within the Ministry of Health have determined that the mRNA vaccine from Pfizer and BioNTech is probably linked to deadly heart inflammation, particularly in young men following their second dose. And we've been hearing that from all over the place. We're seeing it here in the United States as well. And again, they're using the word vaccine very loosely because these treatments, if you will, they're actually gene therapies. They are not vaccines in the classic sense. They are gene therapies. They're diddling with your DNA, which is something most of us probably don't want to have diddled with anyway. Up at Canada, their border agency is urgently looking to hire a global technology firm to help develop a biometric vaccine certificate. The agency wants a strategy and a roadmap for digital solutions using biometric-related technologies. The problem with biometrics is it has never been proven to be 100% accurate and reliable. I remember when they were using biometrics to spot terrorists at airports, and they had thousands and thousands of false positives and never actually caught a real terrorist. So you need to keep that in mind. Out in Nevada, there's a scandal brewing there because, if you remember, Governor Sisolak banned hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for COVID-19. And it turns out that at the same time that he was doing that, and he caused shortages for patients who used the drug for other ailments like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And at the same time that he was saying the public could not have hydroxychloroquine, it turns out they were stockpiling it in the Department of Corrections for use on prisoners who came down with COVID-19. And I'm not sure what the thinking about that is all about. Okay, get to the international news now. Over in Alexandria, Egypt, dozens were arrested Friday and Saturday after hundreds of people took to the streets in the working-class Nadi al-Said area to protest the planned forced evacuations and demolitions of their houses. And the residents of the poor neighborhood protested after Friday prayers when they found themselves face to face with hundreds of riot police who accompanied the demolition crews. Now, the demolitions have been halted due to the protests, but the residents who spoke to Middle East Eye remain on edge and accused the government of not having a clear compensation plan. You know, government's compensation, or you ought to see what the compensation is when the government exercises eminent domain in this country. It's never fair and it's never just. It's pennies on the dollar, if that. Now, Anthony Blinken is still involved in negotiations between the U.S. and Iran to bring the U.S. back into the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and restart that treaty, or at least rejoin that treaty, because Russia, China, the UK, France, and Germany are still parties to that deal. And but now Blinken is saying he's not sure if the Iran deal is actually going to happen, and I'm sure that Israel is jumping up and down in joy over that. Also, speaking of Iran, there's been yet another mysterious accident, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, this time at a steel mill that was destroyed or severely damaged by a fire, and that's like three incidents in 5 days. Iran has protested and denounced U.S. tracking of its ships that may be headed to Venezuela, and saying that Tehran is not breaching international law, even if it sent arms down to Venezuela. Now, so far, as far as anybody can tell, these ships are taking refined petroleum products down to Venezuela and coming back with raw crude, because Venezuela does not really have any refining capacity of its own. And again, it's perfectly legal under international law for Iran and Venezuela to engage in such trade. It is only the United States that's out there basically acting as pirates on the high seas, confiscating the ships and selling the cargo, which they just recently did, I think, for millions of dollars. And government spokesman Ali Rabai said Iran reserves the right to enjoy normal trade ties in the framework of international laws and regulations, and considers any interference and monitoring of these relations as illegal and insulting, and strongly condemns it. Well, I'm in agreement with Iran on that one here. Getting on over to Israel. Supposedly tomorrow, Netanyahu is out of office. Some people are saying technically he's already out of office. But there's a lot of people saying, you know, don't say goodbye just yet. And there's an article that came out of Global Research that Netanyahu's legacy of hate defines his long goodbye, saying there may well be twists and turns yet to come. The Knesset has not yet sworn in the new government. That happens tomorrow. And it's saying Netanyahu could still be able to peel off right-wing members of the Yair Lapid's coalition to hang on into power. And in recent years, it has sometimes felt like everything can be imagined except the end of the man who rules Israel like a king. And even if he is removed, we know he will not be done. Barring that corruption trial over that German submarine deal, he's probably going to stick around and make a real nuisance of himself. Meanwhile, Israel continues to behave like Israel. Settlers have razed an historic neighborhood near Ibrahim Mosque in the occupied West Bank city of Al-Khalil, also known as Hebron, as Tel Aviv presses ahead with its plans to Judaize the old city of Al-Khalil. They basically want it to be a Jewish only, and all of you others get on out of there. Okay. Over in Yemen, one of their deputy ministers, Hossein al-Izzi, says that the illegal Saudi-imposed blockade is a major obstacle to peace in the region. And he strongly lambasted the years-long Saudi siege imposed on Yemen, saying the crippling and inhumane blockade is a major obstacle to any possible move made to forge peace among the warring parties. And he's saying basically every talk about peace will remain dull as long as the siege remains in place. Now, further goading Beijing, the U.S. military is expressing support for Malaysia after the Southeast Asian country said that 16 Chinese warplanes came close to its airspace. Didn't enter it, just close. Now, Beijing is disputing the claim and said they sent only 2 aircraft into the area on a routine mission. So on May 31st, Malaysia said it scrambled jets and saw the Chinese warplanes over the South Chinese Sea, about 60 nautical miles from the Malaysian state of Sarawak, which is on the island of Borneo. And whenever there is an incident in the region between China and its neighbors, the U.S. is quick to get involved on behalf of the neighbors. And again, just trying to cause trouble over there. And really, there's something else coming up late in the show that's another argument against getting into a war. Britain's new armored personnel carrier cannot carry personnel. Great Britain has bought a new fleet of tanks for the army. It costs £3.5 billion, and they cannot be driven safely over 20 miles an hour. And military chiefs have been warned the new Ajax armored fighting vehicles pose safety risk to the soldiers if they are driven at more than half of their rated fastest speed. They're supposed to go at 40. And basically, it comes after trials of the vehicles had to be suspended after it was found troops had suffered swollen joints and tinnitus while being inside the vehicles. And it's basically saying that due to the speed restrictions and excessive vibration, the Ajax is just not going to work as intended and is not worth the money. And if this sounds familiar, it's almost the plot line from the book and the movie The Pentagon Wars, which chronicled the development of the Bradley Infantry Fighting Vehicle. And if you read this article on whatreallyhappened.com, I included a clip from that movie that kind of encapsulates this mutation of the original concept for the Bradley into this very costly, bulky, kludgy behemoth that it eventually became. Over in Russia, their northern fleet has started receiving a new class of submarines, and this is the Yasin M-class nuclear-powered guided missile submarine. This is the lead boat of a subclass descended from the Yazan, the first of which, the Severodvinsk, was commissioned in 2013. So the Kazan is the culmination of more than a decade of effort to field a new and completely modern SSGN, and it is a marked improvement in nearly every respect over the predecessor, which has the U.S. Navy very worried, as well they should be. Okay. Getting into the economic news, Peter Schiff is out there warning of a double whammy, and Basically talking about gold and silver whipsawed to end last week. Gold fell over 30 on Thursday when the weekly jobless claims and the ADP private payroll numbers came in better than expected, but the yellow metal gained back much of the loss Friday after a less than overwhelming Labor Department May jobs report. And he's basically pointing out the ADP and the Labor Department jobs reports are diametrically opposed. So somebody somewhere is fudging the books. Now, the idea is that all of this job creation means the economy is stronger. It's going to put more pressure on prices, so more pressure on inflation. Therefore, the Fed is more likely, as a result of the strong ADP number, to tighten rates sooner to start tapering asset purchases sooner. This leads into the buy the dollar, sell the gold mentality. The algorithms kick in, and we immediately have this reaction on the currency and gold markets. All right, got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate.
I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economic news. Now, last week it was announced that Russia's sovereign wealth fund is going to dump all of its dollar and dollar-denominated assets in favor of those denominated in euros, yuan, or further purchasing of precious metals like gold. And now they are looking at ordering all of the state firms to switch to the euro. In other words, nations that are buying Russian oil or gas or coal will have to pay for them in the euros. And that is going to be very, very significant. Now, there's another story along the same lines here, and this is a little bit of propaganda. I'm going to give you the heads up. This is from Sputnik News, and they're talking about how over at the IMF, they're saying that the EU1 will expedite China's attempt to topple the U.S. dollar as the world's dominant reserve currency. And I take issue with that because nobody has to topple the dollar. The dollar, based on nothing, created from thin air and then loaned out at interest, is self-destructing. And countries that are moving away from the dollar are doing so not out of spite or malice toward America, but out of a sense of self-preservation against what they see as an imminent collapse down to zero of the dollar, because there's nothing propping up the value of the dollar but the promise of future slave labor of the American taxpayer. That's it. That's all there is. Now, we reported yesterday the president of El Salvador wants to make Bitcoin legal tender in El Salvador, and now he's being joined by leaders from Brazil, Panama, and Argentina, and other countries who pledged to support the Bitcoin. And it's looking like worldwide adoption is going to be coming. There may be a hitch in that we're going to get into a little bit later in the show. Meanwhile, Russia hit back at Canada after the March 24th sanctions, which saw 9 Russian officials banned from Canada over gross and systematic violations of human rights in Russia, yada, 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 Alexei Navalny, and so forth and so on. Well, Russia is now banning 9 Canadian officials from entering their country indefinitely. Okay. All right. You know, then all this brouhaha about Navalny, and, you know, nobody talks about what's being done to Julian Assange. He's being treated pretty badly. Seems like there's a double standard there. Over at Deutsche Bank, they're warning of a global time bomb coming due to rising inflation. So the red warning flags are out there. Traders are betting on the return of $100 oil. And China and Russia have announced they are going to increase their gold reserves. Now, there was another story that came on through that the G7 may set some new rules to rein in the paper gold trade that is being used to manipulate the physical prices. And if they actually pull that off, then the value of your physical gold is going to really take a major jump up. Take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.